the radio.
I think I heard of that.
It's called the radio.
Morning, sir. Shopping for a new pickup today?
Oh, no. I'm Bill the electrician. Come to repair your pole light.
Oh, right. Where's your boom truck?
Don't need one. I just shimmy up the pole with this super-duper tree-climbing deer stand. Comes with special safety gear.
Well, okay.
Potentially dangerous jobs require specialized equipment and highly trained personnel. That's why you should always call the experts at Crosby Electric.
I'm just gonna lower this old fixture and, whoops!
Whoa!
Sorry.
All technicians at Crosby Electric are thoroughly trained to safely perform all electrical procedures for your business.
Okay, I'm just going to ease on down now and... Whoa! Oh!
Whoa, Bill, I thought you had special safety gear.
I do. Strapped a pillow to my behind. Safety first, I always say.
Don't take chances. Call the experts at Crosby Electric or visit us at CrosbyElectric.com.
Oh, man, piece of junk!
Blair, what are you fussing about?
I'm trying to crank this, a piece of junk.
Here, try this.
Man, what brand is this?
It's a Steel, the number one selling brand in America.
Wow, this looks great. We're gonna get it. Home Depot, Lowe's, huh?
Neither. You can't buy a Steel there, but you can buy one at my store, CTE Outdoor Power on Perry Hill Road.
Oh, man, I bet this thing costs a fortune.
Shoot, this month I've got Steel blowers on sale for only $149, chainsaws for only $179, and just in time for grass cutting season, we've dropped the price on Steel grass trimmers to only $129.
Man, you gotta be kidding. That's about what I paid from the home store for this piece of junk. Now, what I do, though, if it breaks? Let me guess. You ship it off, it'll take 6 weeks.
No, look, some steel components have a lifetime warranty, but if it does break, I got the parts and service departments on site. Man, we service what we sell. And check this out. With our exclusive Advantage plan, if your steel does break, we may fix it for free, give you a new one, or at least have it repaired within 1 week.
Get out of here. From now on, anytime I need anything having to do with lawn equipment, I'm going to come to see you at CTE Outdoor Power on Perry Hill Road.
School's almost here. Isn't it an embarrassment that teachers are forced to buy their own class supplies? Isn't it a crime that kids are forced to start school without everything they need? Blue Water Broadcasting and Bachelor Technologies ask you to cram our van and help kids and teachers in the River Region get off to a great start this school year. Drop off school supplies such as pens, paper, notebooks, and backpacks to Bachelor Technologies. Bachelor Technologies, your single source of network support. Donate what you can and help us cram the van for Montgomery's Public Schools. From Bachelor Technologies and Blue Water Broadcasting.
To find out how you can help, visit newstalk931.com.
The Rich Thomas Weather Network, brought to you by Alabama Wholesale Lumber. Alabama Wholesale Lumber, serving the River Region with the best quality building materials for decades. Contractor to do-it-yourselfer. Call Alabama Wholesale Lumber.
Rich Thomas Weather!
Well, hi, everybody. The weekend will not be a washout, but the rain chances will be better than normal, and that's good news to a lot of folks. With showers and thunderstorms around, even into the evening hours, then fading out later tonight, overnight low in the mid-70s. Tomorrow and Sunday, not quite as hot as it has been, highs around 90, but a generous supply of showers and thunderstorms, which will be scattered to numerous in the afternoon and evening hours. A lot of towns will get wet, some won't. And even on Monday and Tuesday, the better than normal rain chances will continue as a frontal system approaches the state. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
Check out ASC Credit Union's free Kasasa Cashback checking account. With cashback, you can earn 3% cashback on all purchases. Qualifications and rules apply. See an ASC rep for more details. Federally insured by NCUA. Online at yourasecu.com. ASC Credit Union, your life, your goals, your ASE.
The premier place the River Region turns to for news, weather, traffic, and opinion. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Something we hope you'll really like.
Ilhan Omar has said and done a lot of crazy stuff. She described the worst terrorist atrocity ever perpetrated on U.S. soil as some people did something.
Some people did something?
She called for, quote, compassion for wannabe ISIS jihadists and said that a judge in Minnesota should give them lenient sentences. She refused to denounce Al-Qaeda.
Can you respond to some of the president's specific claims, most notably that you're a communist and that you're pro-Al-Qaeda?
You might have noticed how when he said, go back to where you came from, there was an uproar.
That you're pro-Al-Qaeda.
She refused to denounce the Antifa terrorist attack on an ICE facility in Washington State.
Will you condemn the Antifa attack in Washington over the weekend? It's easy to condemn terrorism. Will you condemn it?
Is it clear?
Antifa firebombed a facility in Tacoma over the weekend. It's an ICE facility. Will you condemn them for that?
She was caught on camera laughing about and making light of the Islamic terrorist threat.
And so it was the thing that was interesting in the class was every time the professor said Al-Qaeda, he sort of like his shoulders went up and, you know.
Yeah, he's in command here.
Al-Qaeda, you know,
hospital. He's an expert.
She blamed America for the collapse of the socialist system in Venezuela.
A lot of the policies that we have put in place has kind of helped lead the devastation in Venezuela.
Some say she even married her own brother. That's a lot of crazy. But despite all of that, I love Ilhan Omar. And if you want to see Trump re-elected, you should love her too, because she's the best thing that ever happened to him. An internal poll of swing Democrat voters found that Omar had a favorability rating of just 9%. In its report about the poll, Axios had to stress that this was not a typo. She literally has a favorability rating of just 9%. So although I love her, a lot of Democrats don't. So by making her the face of the Democrats, along with AOC, whose favorability rating isn't that much higher, Trump is pulling a masterstroke. It's a simple but genius political trick. Trump has forced moderate Democrats to rally around the squad, despite the fact that the squad is hugely unpopular with key voters in swing states. The same squad that includes Rashida Tlaib, who said she was, quote, afraid of her fellow Americans after 9/11.
We're gonna go in there, we're gonna impeach them.
The same squad that includes Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who thinks the world's gonna end in 12 years and that there are literal concentration camps in America.
Like,
all those crazy beliefs that Ilhan Omar and the squad represent now represent the Democratic Party. Good luck with trying to use that as a policy platform that will resonate with tens of millions of American people. Last night, while Trump was criticizing Ilhan Omar at a rally in North Carolina, the crowd chanted, "Send her back." This was after Trump tweeted that Omar should go back to Somalia and fix some of the problems there before lecturing America. Canadian Somali journalist Hodan Nalaya did go back to Somalia to do precisely that. She wanted to challenge stereotypes to prove that Somalia was peaceful and beautiful. Nalaya became well known for her relentlessly positive tweets about Somalia. Just 1 week ago, she lauded the beauty of the place. One respondent praised her for, quote, countering the doom narrative propagated by many about Somalia. Another Somali writer praised her, portraying an image of the country radically different from the stereotype of, quote, victims trapped in a vicious circle of conflicts. And during a video tour on her YouTube channel of the town of Kismayo, Nalaya said that she was hopeful the area could be rebuilt and revived because this place is beautiful.
Kismayo, you're watching the best of Somalia as we show you around this beautiful town.
What happened to Nalaya? On Friday last week, she was killed in that very same town when Al-Shabaab militants car-bombed and stormed the Asai Hotel in Kismayo. 26 people were killed in total, and it took Somali security forces 14 hours to regain control of the hotel. So no, I don't think Ilhan Omar should be sent back to Somalia, because Somalia is a very dangerous place. I think Omar should very much stay in the United States and continue with her incredibly successful efforts at securing the re-election of Donald Trump. She's the best political weapon Trump could possibly have in his arsenal going into 2020. But given what happened to Hodan Nalaya in Somalia, maybe Ilhan Omar should rein in the America-hating just a bit and show a little more gratitude for having the opportunity to live in the greatest country on earth.
Calling all stations, clear the air lanes, clear all air lanes for the big broadcast.
I picked up that Paul Joseph Watson clip a couple of days ago, and it's even more resonant today. I'll explain why in a minute. Friday Happy Hour, very special show today. I'm Greg, my title like sidekick.
Joey.
He's here too. So is Rosie, and Eddie Mader's coming.
And here they are.
Jeff Rose,
please clap.
I heard the press as President Trump was going back to D.C. or somewhere. I don't know where he was, but the press was there. And I never heard an angrier, uglier horde of people in my life. And as he just explained, you heard some of the backstory about Omar and some of the other stuff that's going on. That's all they want to talk about. Her First Amendment rights, he said, I have First Amendment rights too. And while we have a very serious situation going on with Iran, as the president pointed out, how can you trust these people? They've seized three oil tankers in the Straits of Hormuz, and who knows where that's going to go. It didn't impact the markets too heavily today. The market was up, and then it dropped, and I'm pretty sure that most of it's in concern over that. But and he was trying to focus on big picture stuff like that. But no, Omar and the squad, and how can you say this, and on and on and on. Keep doing it, bitches. Just keep it up. Because as he just said, you're doing nothing. If you think that most of America looks at Ilhan Omar, and not because she wears a turban or whatever that is, or says all these anti-Semitic, forget it. She is from what the president once referred to as a whole country. And she comes here, enjoys a $170,000 annual salary in Congress, and then runs her mouth about Israel and all the terrible things that they've done. And it's all about the Benjamins, baby. Can you be a bigger Jew hater than that, Ms. Omar? But no, the media thinks that the president's comment about four women who don't even have a full first term in Congress, that's going to take him down. No. The country doesn't, and this includes independents. We saw the polling data. They don't care much for her or Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Rashida Tlaib, who is maybe to me the most disgusting of the four, and the other one with the open mouth and air flowing between both ears. Go ahead. Keep at it. They've got nothing. Middle America will knock people over to go out and vote for this man in 2020. So go ahead. Keep it up. If you think this is how you're going to take this president down, you are sadly mistaken. He's different, and, you know, I'm glad we don't have,
everybody's in America. Yeah, it's the greatest country in the world. Let's fix it. Yeah.
No, we don't have that in the White House. We don't have George W. Bush stumbling through some type of half-assed statement that says nothing. And Bill Clinton, who time after time said, we're going to seek them out and bring them to justice. Last guy that really spoke from the heart was Ronald Reagan. And while Trump may not be quite as eloquent, they do have a lot in common. So, but I don't know if I want to or don't want to see the video clips of the media and the way they were behaving when Trump got off the plane. It sounded like a fourth grade class run amok, and their assignment was to attack the president with questions about the squad. The squad!
What a stupid name.
The squad is doing a great job of revealing the true heart of the Democratic Party. So we have Robert on the line. We'll take his call. And then we're going to pretty much be doing celebrating the 50th anniversary of the moon landing. Top 10 songs from 50 years ago.
Yay. Looking forward to it.
Any breaking news? Thanks for the call. That'll probably be the last one we take today. So we're going to start, before we play the first segment of the Gene Kranz interview, with the top 10 songs, July 20th, 1969. This one had already been number one. It was movie Dr. Jones. Tommy James and Sean Knowles. There's going to be some great music this afternoon. Hello, Eddie Bader.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
How's my house?
Great. Your house is good. Your house is great.
Good. We'll talk about that in a moment. We're going to play these songs in their entirety, by the way.
Looking over yonder, what do you see? The sun is rising.
definitely. A new day's coming. People are changing. Ain't it beautiful? Crystal blue persuasion. Better get ready. Gonna see.
Keeping an eye on two things, urgent news and weather. We had 1.75 inches of rain at my place today.
Wow.
In about an hour.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
It, you know, all the frustration waiting for, throw us a few sprinkles, Barry, and then, you know, day after day of threatening weather, but no storms and yada, yada, yada. And we got more rain in 1 hour than we had in the last 30 days.
You said how much?
1.75 inches.
1.75 inches doesn't sound like much, folks, but it does make a difference.
Oh, that's a ton of rain, too.
At the speed at which it came down, too. It was amazing.
Huge difference.
So we're watching that. But today we are celebrating not only the achievement of Man on the Moon 50 years ago tomorrow, but, and you'll read all of this in my August Boone column, the year the Earth stood still, 1969, a year that from beginning to end was filled with surprises in the news, in sports. Year began with Joe Willie, Roll Tide, leading, predicting against all odds that the New York Jets would beat the Baltimore Colts. Not a sports writer in America picked the Jets to, said that was even possible. If you look at his score, a point, and they beat him 16-9. So the year began with an event like that, something incredibly improbable. And the thing that makes the moon landing and remembering it so special is the improbability that we would, A, get there successfully, return successfully, and do it within the time frame first established by JFK. And then after Armstrong, Aldrin, and Collins returned to our planet, the year continued to see amazing things happen. Woodstock, the New York Mets, of all teams, and I still hate them for this, and I had the privilege of telling three guys who played for that team, Ron Swoboda, Wayne Garrett, and Jerry Koosman, that I hate them. Because the Cubs...
Well, good for you.
Two things improbable on July 20th, 1969. We're on the moon, and the Cubs are in first place. It was the first year of divisional baseball, but the Cubs finally looked like they were going to get back to the World Series. They had a great lineup, some excellent pitching. But as a Cub fan, you always leave room of doubt in the back of your head that at some point they're going to choke. They're going to choke, and they're going to break your frickin' heart and leave you in tattered pieces. And the night of September 24th, 1969, all I could hear was the sound of my footsteps on the sidewalk cement as I walked down 70th Place in Chicago, listening to the last out of a game that officially eliminated the Cubs from something they seemed destined to enjoy, their first pennant in many years. So, it was that kind of year. Plus, for me personally, you'll read some of the details, but
not
that,
all.
That was the year, March 29th, 1969, mm-hmm. at 6512 Normandy Avenue in Chicago.
Yeah.
At the home of Noreen Boyce.
Noreen Boyce.
She sounds lovely.
Yeah.
She and Sharon Wojcikowski.
She sounds very giving.
And Gloria Delusky. She was the one I met that night.
Gloria Delusky.
They wrote a song about her. Gloria.
Oh, yeah.
Gloria.
Gloriaski. Goya. eventually became my first wife, and sadly, I own 100% of the responsibility for that not working out as it should have, because I made bad choices, and turned into somebody that really wasn't me. And it took me many years to find the path that got me back, because I was ultimately destined to be the jerk I am today.
You're not a jerk.
Couldn't escape it.
And
no matter
the
what.
Super jerk I became when I started thinking, you know what? Alcohol and drugs give me magical powers I just can't seem to have on my own. So that was part of 1969. So on the most personal level, it's a special year, too.
So you're playing the top 10 music, like the top 10 list from this day in 69, right?
That's correct. And Crystal Blue Persuasion, which was ultimately headed for number one. What's ironic is the song that we will play as number one was a song that foretold the future.
Was that from the Billboard charts?
I have done the research from several sources. I'm using the WLS Hit Parade in Chicago.
Okay.
I'm using Billboard and TuneStar and a few other things, and I'm kind of compiling an average here.
I'm looking at one out of the top 10, not to give anything away, but it looks like on this list in number 16, one of my favorite funk songs ever. I don't even see the artist, but I know who it is. Mother Popcorn, You Gotta Have a Mother for Me. James Brown,
James Brown.
Godfather of soul.
James Brown. Because the Billboard list was for top 40, and James Brown's music was popular with people from all persuasions.
Of course,
you pointed this out. You noticed this earlier, Joey, that one of the great things of the music in 1969 was the, and I hate this word in today's context, but the diversity. Because it wasn't mandated.
No.
Nobody did it so they could have a feel-good moment or virtue signal somebody else that, hey, I'm down with this. This is good. You had such an odd confluence of different musical types. Tommy James, of course, was an established artist, and Rich Thomas would probably say that of all the songs that Tommy James made, that one was the most
beautiful
of all. So that was number 10, and we're going to go to number 9 in just a moment. But first, let's take a moment to remember a place that was also part of the Year of the Earth is still Georgia Florist Direct. And there is an achievement that still stands at its original location, 1965 Eastern Boulevard. What made it unique is that that area of town was kind of like the lunar landscape. It was not very little development. There was a road, but a guy named Dick McAdams said, you know what, this is going to be the center of the river region at one point, and I want to be here when it is. So that's where they put their enormous warehouse and filled it with all types of popular flooring styles straight from manufacturers so they could sell it to customers at a wholesale price. They recruited and built a team of installers that's second to none. So when you buy from Georgia Floors Direct, you get the great price and an installation that's second to none. And they haven't tampered with that formula. Congratulations. Now they have embraced social media. Their Facebook page is always filled with great decorating ideas, their latest offerings in stock. And I urge you to visit it from time to time because it's a fun page to visit. In the meantime, they are waiting for you at 1965 Eastern Boulevard next to Ashley Home. Georgia Floors Direct, a flooring destination since Neil Armstrong took that small step for man.
Montgomery Skywatch rolling our way through the Friday afternoon traffic, and we still have a couple accidents to tell you about. We have another new one. This one is on Ann Street at Span Place. That's between Highland Avenue and Lee High School. We also have an accident in the downtown area we told you about a little while ago, Grove Street at South Union, so be careful there. And there's one on I-65 southbound right at the Millbrook exit, so be careful if you're headed into Montgomery that way. If you're on the boulevard, traffic's pretty busy. Watch yourself around the intersections. We also see a good bit of traffic on the 31s this afternoon as people head their way out of town. Please watch the traffic around you and be careful if it's raining. At Reinhardt Toyota, you can shop online and avoid the heat. Go to ReinhardtToyota.com, hit the big button, and get immediate savings on the Toyota of your choice. Reinhardt Toyota. I'm Jeff Blake Montgomery, Skywatch Traffic.
No recovery, no fee. That's right. The Vance Law Firm only gets paid if you get paid. It's the V guarantee.
No representation is made that the quality of legal services to be performed is greater than the quality of legal services performed by the lawyers.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
4 out of 5 employers who post a job in ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. ZipRecruiter. The smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Just go to this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/work. That's ZipRecruiter.com/work. ZipRecruiter.com/work.
Yes! Yes, we do buy
diamonds, gemstones, gold and platinum.
Yes, we do buy
or trade.
Yes, we do buy
diamonds, coins, gold and silver.
Marguerite's Exquisite Jewelry.
Marguerite's Exquisite Jewelry is open 7 days a week at the Pepper Tree Shops on Vaughn Road.
Hello, everyone. Robbie Pelt with Capital City Roofing. If you think about it, your home is your biggest investment in life. Your roof covers your home, so why jeopardize your biggest investment on a roofer you don't know anything about when you can deal with a reputable roofing company like Capital City Roofing? We have an A-plus better business rating and the best manufacturers and workmanship warranties available. We do all residential and commercial roofing applications that are certified through the manufacturer to ensure you get the best material and workmanship money can buy. We also have your project in our best interest before and after construction has been done. Don't hesitate to call us if you have any roofing issues or questions. We will match any of our competitors' price and give you the same great workmanship warranty. We also give free estimates. Give us a call today and let us show you the difference. 277-3311. That's 277-3311. Or you can check us out on the web at www.capitalcityroofing.com. Capital City Roofing. We capitalize the roofing industry.
The Starlight Lounge presents An Evening with the Progressive Box.
Adios, old friend. Yeah, I've got no secrets and no regrets. Well, a lot of regrets, but the point is I've got nothing to hide. Kind of like the way Progressive shows you their competitors' rates. You got to put it all out there, baby. Excuse me, miss. Does this heart belong to you? Would you like it anyway?
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparisons not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The Health and Wealth Show on WACV. Weeknights at 7, Saturday mornings at 8:30, and Sundays at 1 in the afternoon. Watch for the Health and Wealth Show weekends on the CW and ABC 32. The Health and Wealth Show with David Ernest.
Rich Thomas Weather, a service of Wiley Sanders Trucking, a family-owned company with competitive pay and great benefits. Good home time and new equipment arriving daily. Be a part of the family. Give Wiley Sanders a call at 855-777-9785.
Rich Thomas Weather.
Well, hi, everybody. The weekend will not be a washout, but the rain chances will be better than normal, and that's good news to a lot of folks. With showers and thunderstorms around, even into the evening hours, then fading out later tonight, overnight low in the mid-70s. Tomorrow and Sunday, not quite as hot as it has been, highs around 90, but a generous supply of showers and thunderstorms, which will be scattered to numerous in the afternoon and evening hours. A lot of towns will get wet, some won't. And even on Monday and Tuesday, the better than normal rain chances will continue as a frontal system approaches the state. From the Blue Water Weather Center. This is Rich Thomas.
Smart Skin Spa and Salon is the River Region's full-service med spa, day spa, and salon. Located in historic downtown Prattville. With over 500 square feet, Smart Skin offers over 100 services of all things beauty and relaxation. Find them online or on Facebook now.
Trustworthy, accurate, immediate. Carrying your voice across the River Region. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Before we play part one of our interview with Gene Kranz, as we look back 50 years, counting down the top 10 songs. For this day, 1969, at number 9, the Joe Jeffrey Group, My Pledge of Love.
I woke up this morning, baby, and had you on my mind. I woke up this morning, baby, you know that I felt so fine. You know I need you. You know that I love you. This is my pledge of love, too. My pledge of love. My pledge of love. Darling, 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 to you. Yeah, to you. Yeah. I woke up this morning, baby.
All right, I got to give myself an acknowledgement here because I thought I had put the entire song in the system, but that was only the first 60 seconds.
You are an idiot.
So I have to worry about that when I got it in the system. And, well, that was number 9 as we look back 50 years. I understand that more than half the people that are listening today have no memory of the space race, and it was us versus the Russians. Half the people have no recollection of how intense and at times frightening that situation was between us and the Soviet Union.
Wait, are you talking about me?
You, in particular, in this room, yes.
Yeah?
Well, Eddie wasn't born yet either.
Not yet.
Not yet.
Not yet. I was 69 is when I made my first appearance, in September of 69. Yeah.
Wow, so you were born a couple of months after. I didn't think you were, you know, I didn't mean to assume that you remember the moon mission. But,
Well, back in my day, Greg, it was important that we were taught those lessons. Unlike today, they're too worried about teaching them about feelings and safe spaces.
Oh,
well,
God.
I have a lot of feelings.
No, today they would be focused on the fact that all the Apollo astronauts are white.
Right.
It was racist and all. You know, that's how they see it today.
I still remember, though, being in school and even having, especially that show came out, $6 Million Man, you know, that was a whole rocket thing. But as kids growing up with model rockets, all of us would look at the moon and think, wow, how could one of us actually be able to go there? That's just, you know, that's amazing.
The sad thing is we stopped. And you know why? Because of the parents and grandparents of the leftist a-holes that are doing nothing but screaming about America sucks today.
Right.
And well represented in our media. I don't know if you caught any of the press conference that Trump conducted, trying to get the word out on a serious situation involving Iran. And all they want to talk about is Ilhan Omar and her First Amendment rights. And I guess he doesn't have any. He's just a rare president that says what's on his mind. If you don't like it, well, he made it real clear. He didn't care.
Thank you.
And if they think that most of America is going to hear that and say, oh, Orange Man bad, they're horribly, horribly mistaken. Now, through the entire process of getting to the moon from the Mercury astronauts, the Gemini astronauts, and the first Apollo, including the, I'll never forget that night, they interrupted the network news to tell us that the Apollo 1 astronauts had been burned to death in a fire, and it was going to set the space program back. And so there were a lot of ups and downs with this. And in the documentaries I've been watching recently, I'm learning things that speak to other dangers that were faced that we didn't really hear about much. NASA kind of hid or sanitized some of the moments in all three elements of the space program where there was real danger involved for the astronauts. And of course, we all saw Apollo 13. In that movie, Ed Harris plays Gene Kranz. Gene Kranz is a friend of my local hero, Colonel Joe Panza, who also has a moon connection. And we'll tell you about that after part one of the interview. He was here December 15, 2014. For me, with all the blessings I've had as a radio host, to have famous people sitting in the studio with me, people I watched in movies, people I voted for, Buffalo Bob from Howdy Doody, and I mean, just a long and varied array of iconic people. Nobody impressed me more than that moment impressed me more than having Gene Kranz in here. Well played. In fact, he'll talk about it here, what it was like to see himself portrayed in a movie and how that feels. And this is part one of that interview from December 15, 2014. We have three segments. We'll play one per hour. And then around that, we're going to have the top 10 songs from 1969 and more than any of the amazing events of that year. Taking that one small step was easily the biggest. Gene Kranz. As requested by our very special guest, the Stars and Stripes, to bring in a man we've described all morning as a real American hero, Gene Kranz. Welcome to our humble ancient radio station. How are you?
Greg, it's a great pleasure to be with you and Susan here today.
We thought we would keep it old school, maybe make you feel right at home working with equipment from the 50s and 60s.
Yeah. This is our last morning show in this studio, as a matter of fact. We'd hope to welcome you to our space age, remember that term, state-of-the-art new studio, but won't be open until tomorrow. But I can't believe that you're sitting here in my studio. I've had the pleasure of interviewing a lot of folks, having them on as guests on the show, but you really mean something special to me because of your history with the space program, the way you've represented it, the leadership, and so forth. And, you know, every once in a while somebody comes in. I just want to thank for taking the time to visit us.
Well, it's a great pleasure to be with you this morning, Greg, because I feel the same way. I feel I have an obligation to the public. Basically, I had 60 years of absolute fun in aviation and space, and it's now payback time to the people who paid the taxes and allowed me to have so much fun.
Well, let's talk about the space program, because I'm of the generation where we were allowed to bring our transistor radios to school to listen to everything, and the buildup from Shepard making it into the atmosphere, and then Glenn being the first to orbit, the missions getting longer, then it was two, then it was three, then the horrible fire. But by the way, let me ask, when that fire occurred, was there doubt that the space program would continue?
No, I don't think so. I think that the... I was on the console on the test preceding the fire. In fact, we had had problems with the communications all night long. And basically, I handed over to the team that was scheduled to launch the Apollo 1 mission. And we had a group of very young controllers. They were in their very early 20s. The majority of the people in leadership roles in the space program were in their mid-30s to early 40s. So we had a very young team. So the real challenge after the accident, I'd been in aviation. I'd seen accidents. I've picked up people after accidents. And it was really a question of how do you get these people back focused after such a horrific event? And I called my division. I was a division chief at that time into the conference room. and basically indicated that I believed that three different groups could have called a halt in the countdown that day. The astronauts and the spacecraft could have said, hey, things not going, we ought to scrub it. Mm-hmm. Same thing with the launch team, same thing with the operations team. But none of us did. None of us stepped up to the responsibilities to our crew and to the mission. And I got all my people in the conference room 3 days later, and I went through what I call the tough and competent speech. Basically, a tough meaning that we're forever responsible for what we do, or in the case of Apollo 1, what we fail to do. Competent. We'll never again take anything for granted. We'll never stop learning. From now on, the teams in mission control will be perfect. And I believe that was the kind of challenge that we had to lay out to these young people to get them back on track. And it all worked because roughly in the accident occurred in January 27th, 1967. In November, we were back on track launching a Saturn. We didn't look for who was responsible. The entire team took the responsibilities.
That's an amazing thing to hear with anything these days where there's a people are willing to raise their hands and take responsibility. And I remember that night when that bulletin broke across the networks. Of course, it was only the three networks at that time, and the sick feeling you got in your gut. But at the same time, hoping that this wouldn't, you know, prevent us from achieving the goal that President Kennedy set out. What was the chief lesson learned from that tragedy? What changes in safety did they make based on what they learned?
I believe that if we go back to the accident, everybody was in go mode. Launch team, the flight control team, basically the astronauts. We had programs overlapping to a great extent. We had just come off the Gemini program. We had done some of the unmanned missions. And we were in the process of, we'd train in one floor, and we'd fly Gemini in the other floor. So it was a question of trying to take one person, divide them into two parts, and make sure that both jobs were done equally well. I believe one of the first lessons we had was one of absolute focus. Basically, we have to know exactly the mission that we're working on, and I have to dedicate our total competence and capability to get it. I think the other thing was one of complacency. We had operated in a pure oxygen environment for the Mercury and the Gemini missions, and basically, we basically did not look at the environment they were putting a crew in. And one of the problems that we had there was Velcro had just been invented, and basically right. The crew took and plastered Velcro all over the inside of the spacecraft, and it was highly flammable. It provided the combustion path and part of the toxic fumes that resulted in the death of the crew.
Wow. This is a man, by the way, Susan, who has been portrayed by three different actors. What's that like when you go to a movie where somebody is playing your part? That is, how do you feel during something like that?
Well, it was interesting. When Apollo 13 came out, myself, the control team, the astronauts, the actors, we had the preview in there. Uh-huh. And the first time you see yourself on the screen there, you sort of slouch down and you look across and see what are other people thinking about this. And I was sitting next to Ken Mattingly, the astronaut from Mission, and he elbowed me there and he says, it's okay. And basically I could just stand up there.
Was magnificent playing your part. And it's one of my favorite movies. You know, for those of us who've been around a while, watching Apollo 13 takes us back and reminds us of how great this country can be, you know. But I want to backtrack a little bit. Prior to the fire, what were some of the other moments in the space program that where maybe there was some danger that we never found out about? Is there anything you can share with us from Mercury or Gemini? That
I believe that all the way through the program, the job in mission control was to control the risk, make the trade-offs in the risk. But at the same time, we have a set of objectives. So the flight control team's job, or the insurance for the space program, is to basically manage the risk during the course of the mission. Flight director's job description is very simple, probably simplest in America. It says the flight director may take any actions necessary for crew safety and mission success. The flight director is essentially operating like a football team in the red zone, quarterback of a football team in the red zone all the time. Mm-hmm. Basically, he's the guy making the calls. He's the clock watcher. He has to know what plays to call. So that's basically what our job is. In the probably one of the scariest times for me came during the Gemini 9 mission. This is with Gene Cernan. And this was only the second extravehicular operation that we had ever performed.
Spacewalk?
And pardon?
Spacewalk?
No, this was the... spacewalk. Okay, gotcha. Yeah, the Gene Cernan spacewalk basically was very, very dynamic. We'd set them to the back end of the Gemini spacecraft. And basically, we had sort of a manned maneuvering unit. We asked him to don, put on, et cetera, and then he's going to fly around in a tether. This is only the second spacewalk we'd ever done. Well, the unfortunate thing is the technology to eliminate vapor inside the suit and the faceplate, the same one that skiers use in their goggles, had yet to be invented. So as Cernan is moving to the back of the spacecraft, his basically visor is now becoming fogged over.
Ooh.
And his heart rate is going up. The surgeons are telling us to have him take it easy right on down the line. Gets back to the back end, and now he's trying to basically unbolt, move the arms down in this thing so he can crawl into the spacesuit. Heart rate's going up, respiration rate going up. He's still having problems seeing. He'll rub the faceplate with his nose so he can find a place to get out. Continues struggling there until finally we call the EVA off. Now, in the process of crawling back from the EVA, he's essentially totally blind. He has to go about 25 feet along the back of the spacecraft through a series of handholds to get back into the cockpit. In the process of doing this, there's a series of antennas back there. And as he gets into the cockpit area, he's basically indicating he feels sort of a burning sensation in his back. And basically, he had torn open part of the thermal layer on his spacesuit there. So it was a pretty sporty EVA. Wow. And the problem is that we did not learn what we should have learned from that, that basically we need to train in a different environment, because we repeated almost the same problem in the next two EVAs until finally the scientific community came after us and said, you're training these guys wrong. Mm-hmm. And we decided the best way to train these guys was to put them in a big water tank and basically make them neutrally buoyant so they didn't sink to the bottom and up to the top. And that environment then was the best replication of space we'd ever have. And from that day forward, we're virtually successful in every EVA that we tried.
We have the real-life star of Apollo 13 in our studio, Gene Kranz, and we're just thrilled to have him.
I'm just spectator here.
Okay, let me go back to Ed Harris a bit there.
Should I acquaint him with my rocket experience?
No, I did have a question, and it's not a technical question. You're asking all the technical questions, Greggy, because you have a better knowledge of all of that than I do. But did they, when they were making that movie, did you sign off on the dialogue and the script and so forth?
There was I was still working for NASA at that time, so basically I could not do anything that would basically reflect as an endorsement for the film. But I did work with the investors and basically convince them that this was a movie worth taking, because the majority of the people, space movies don't make a lot of money. So basically that was the first thing. And then we got together with Ron Howard and basically talked through the mission with them. We talked with the various actors that were going to be playing in the movie. The one thing I never did was work with Ed Harris.
That's
because he was up doing another movie shoot. But I just finished a very long, almost a two-day interview with Japanese Public Broadcasting and USPBS. Ed Harris got the raw video interview from that, studied it, decided what he really needed to do is to hire some of my people to coach him during the filming. So basically took one of my flight directors, my trajectory officer, and all the time they were filming the movie Apollo 13, they were looking over his shoulder saying, no, this isn't the way Kranz would do it, etc. And they had several of the interesting idiosyncrasies. If you watch Ed Harris, basically one time he's just destroying a ballpoint pen by clicking it. I'd go through two or three ballpoint pens a shift in there. My secretary would bring up an entire box. And I was also a pacer, which was interesting. I had the longest cord in mission control. And as soon as I got up and started pacing, everybody would secure their coffee cups so I wouldn't knock them over with my Concord in there.
Imagine that, knocking over a cup of coffee into very, very expensive equipment. Who would do that?
Well,
nasty. Hey, what do you have to open up our skeleton closet for and dump? This is a hero here. He doesn't care.
Hey, something must have happened. I'm not aware of what happened here, Greg.
I had a congresswoman in that very seat, and I accidentally dumped a cup of coffee into the board and knocked us off the air completely. It was not my finest hour.
Okay.
Which is a term, by the way, I love from Apollo 13, because were the PR guys during that crisis, were they as annoying as they were portrayed in the movie?
No, the PR guys were pretty good. The issue that we had was the White House always likes to be ahead of the game. If we're going to have a problem, they want to have some statement to say when the problem shows up. So all through that mission, they were looking at what were the odds of getting the crew back, what were the odds of the crew getting them back, et cetera, which really became sort of a pain, and I would never surrender the fact that we weren't getting them back. This crew is coming home. You got to believe it. Your team must believe it. We believe it. And finally, I think it was Deke Slayton turned around and said, look, give them the odds 50-50. And that was probably one of the things I said, gee, that's great. He got the heat off me there, and basically the media we had in those days was very professional. We had professional journalists in the written, the TV, the radio in there. They knew their job, and the key thing was, press conference with them was like playing poker. They had to ask the right question, but we would always give them the answer. The other thing was, there was a little booth over in the corner of Mission Control where the live press was there 24 hours a day. We patch in all the communications, et cetera. So there was a different relationship than the media we have nowadays.
But I my favorite line is when the guy is going on and on about, how this is going to reflect, and you said, I think it's going to be our finest hour.
This will be our finest hour, and it certainly was.
Absolutely, absolutely. Can you stay with us a little longer?
Sure.
Still got a bunch of nosy questions we need to ask here. You know, that was even better than I remembered it. I completely forgot that whoever that was in the interview with me managed to combine Apollo 13 and coffee being spilled into the board into one big disaster segment. How about that?
Pop that bubble you had
there,
buddy.
That takes talent.
And there were other things in there, too, that made it even more entertaining on replay than I remembered it being. Gene
He's a
Kranz.
Character.
He is. He is. You would think, given the enormous responsibilities, certainly one of the more famous names out of the, right up there with the astronauts, you know, that actually went on the missions in terms of fame during their career with NASA. And because of that responsibility and all the seriousness of it, that it would require somebody who didn't have time to grow a charismatic persona, but he did.
Yeah,
he did. He's one of those people when the time and history call for a certain man and a certain skill set, Gene Kranz walks in, and he was the perfect guy for that gig. I think of Winston Churchill when I say that. He came along at just the right time for
right
England.
Man for the job.
So
you can tell he was himself.
And I think one day, probably long after I'm dead, if history has any sense of fairness, they'll say the same thing about Donald Trump. But we're not talking about that today. I've already been through that. We're focusing on the amazing event of 50 years ago tomorrow. We're also celebrating the greatest music ever made, the top 10.
That's right.
Songs that we're playing on WLS that some of you were listening to at nighttime here, because when the sun went down, you could pick it up. And that would include illustrious names like Larry Stevens and so forth, who was relentlessly curious to see how everybody else did it, so he might find a way to make what he was doing even better. And that's kind of how you succeed in almost anything.
Yeah, that's why he was number one in the market for so long.
He discovered Rosie. Come on. So we got Rosie here today, Eddie Bader is with us, and young Joey, who remembers none of this but is making notes.
He's learning.
Yes. Yes, young Joey is.
Yes, it's so good to be young Joey here with mature Greg, or something like that.
You may have been the first if Neil Armstrong took that one small step for man, you may have been the first person in history to call me mature. So,
well, I didn't want to go with old Greg.
I noticed you covering here, Joey.
Yeah, and thanks for making that real clear why you chose that word over the other one. Mm-hmm. Duncan Tomlinson, attorneys at law in a divorce situation. Sometimes you know it's coming. If you're in a situation like that, I would recommend a consultation with Dana Delk and Jacqueline Tomlinson. As a News Talk listener, they offer a generous discount on that time. Just to know what you could do to be preemptive. I was ambushed, and that did not work well for me. And ambushed at a level where it took me weeks before I even thought about, well, wait a minute, what ultimately is going to be my responsibility coming out of this? I handled it horribly. And consulting does not mean you have to follow through. In fact, the consultation with Duncan Tomlinson has actually prevented a number of divorces from taking place, because in that environment, sometimes things get on the table that need to be addressed. And when they are, the issue that was splitting two people apart vanishes. And they're all for that. But you need good representation. And for men in the state of Alabama, with the laws being the way they are and the attitudes towards custody and so forth, you need good advocates. And that's what these two women specialize in. And you'll be glad to have them on your side if you find yourself in that situation. Dana Delk and Jacqueline Tomlinson, attorneys at law. Their website is divorcedformenalabama.com. Their number is 819-4810. Remember, identify yourself as a News Talk listener to Delk and Tomlinson, attorneys at law.
A representation is made that the quality of legal services performed is greater than the quality of legal services performed by other lawyers.
Part two of the Gene Kranz interview next hour will come out of Fox News with the song that was number 8. As we count them down, Crystal Blue Persuasion was 10. My Pledge of Love by the Joe Jeffrey Group is 9. You'll find out what number 8 is right after Fox News next.
Traffic is brought to you by Prattville Farm Center. Save big on affordable premium dog food at Prattville Farm Center. You'll always deal with hometown folks and get the best prices at Prattville Farm Center. Prattville Farm Center, South Memorial Drive in Prattville.
Montgomery Sky Watch with a look at your afternoon traffic. And accidents on the interstate seem to be the rage this afternoon. We have another crash on I-85 southbound. This one is just past the Union Street exit as you approach the interchange, so be careful there. We also have an accident at West Fairview and I-65, so let's be careful out there this afternoon. Traffic is building up. After all, it's Friday afternoon, and the weather is causing problems in a lot of areas. Slow down a little bit, make sure your headlights are on, and watch out for the traffic around you. Learn ballet and take classes at Alabama River Region Ballet and Festival Plaza Shopping Center. There's so much to do at Festival Plaza. They're at the corner of Taylor and Vaughn, another great McClinton and Company development. I'm Jeff Blake, Montgomery Skywatch Traffic.
If you get hurt in a car wreck and the insurance company offers you a tiny check, say no. Call the Vance Law Firm now.
No representation is